The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Welcome back to the Your Safe Space podcast, hosted by me, Adele Marie. This podcast, just like the title says, is made just for you, where you can spill the tea, confess your secrets, or get some big sister advice. Today, what to do when your partner owes you money, and what to do when you are also about to go overseas and do long distance with your boyfriend for the very first time. Let's get into the show. Good morning, everyone. Hello, hello. Happy end of your week. I don't know if you listen on a Thursday or a Friday, but I hope that you're having a good one. And I hope you're getting ready for the weekend. I feel like this month is honestly flying by, and I'm very excited about this weekend because if you live in Melbourne, you know that we have the Formula One happening. And I absolutely love when there are events on, especially in your home state, because I feel like there's like an ambience in the air. I feel like everyone's a little bit more chirpy. I feel like everyone's in a bit of a better mood. I saw it in January when we had the Australian Open here. So blessed. Melbourne has like the best sporting events. But I also saw it when we had Taylor Swift. I will say, I don't think anything can top the ambience of Taylor Swift and like the energy in the air when she was here, because everyone was just in a better mood and everything was glittery and it was incredible. But obviously we've got the F1 happening, and I'm annoyed at myself because I missed out on tickets when they got released, and there are some tickets available still at the moment, but I am not going to be able to go. And that's because the only ticket that is available right now is for the lounge, and it's like $3,600. And I'm just like, I cannot. No, never even going to happen. Not a possibility. And I'm kicking myself because I kind of wish I had even just bought like a day pass or even a weekend pass to just go like on the Sunday, because that's the main day, obviously. And I really loved going last year, and I think next year I'll try and prioritize that a little bit more. So I guess this weekend I'll be watching it on TV, and that's okay, and also going to some inspections. But if you are going to the F1, have the best time. I'm so jealous. I'll be living vicariously through you. And if you aren't an F1 fan, then I hope you have a great weekend, and yeah, get up to whatever else and stay safe. Now, we are getting into today's show. It's a confessions and questions episode. A tiny bit of housekeeping before we get into it. I need a favor from you guys, because you guys are coming through with the questions hot and heavy. I love that. I need some confessions, okay? For every, I'm going to say 20 to 30 questions I get one confession, and that is okay. I'm not complaining, but I would love some more, and I don't want you to like overthink your confession or anything like that. Obviously, the juicier the better. Keep it anonymous. Get whatever you need off your chest, but if you have a confession, please come and drop that into the show notes. I'll leave the link for you there. All right, are we ready to get into today's tea? When I met my fiance, he didn't have a lot and was terrible with his money. On top of that, he also had an awful job that was not good for his mental health. Over the last couple of years, I have helped him quite a bit. I helped him get out of the hole that he was in, and I paid off all his debt. I bought him a car, I insured it, and I registered it, and he was going to pay me back. Girlfriend of the Year Award. The payments were on hold for a little while, and during that time, he also proposed to me. We are now planning our engagement party and a wedding, so every single pay, he sends me a sum of money to put away for that. But this now means that he is unable to pay anything towards what he owes me from the debt. He has a much better job now, is so happy, has a ton of goals set, and is religiously saving money for the upcoming events to celebrate us. So I'm asking, should I just forget about the money that I lent him and write it off as a gift, considering that we'll be married anyway? He is the most perfect man I've ever met in every other way, and I'm glad that I could help him in this way. But then I also think I worked extremely hard to earn that money. He appreciates it so much, and he does still intend to pay me back, but I just can't help feel bad for expecting it, considering we now have the rest of our lives to look forward to. And guys, I was a bit stumped on this one. I'm not going to lie. I read it about 10 times and I was like, fuck, I don't know where I land. And maybe by the end of this, I'll tell you where I land. I kind of low-key also wanted to know how much debt this listener got her boyfriend out of, because I'm just going to go out on a limb and say a car. and him being in some debt, you're definitely looking plus 10K, maybe even 20K, maybe even more. And in the grand scheme of things, I think the amount is completely irrelevant and is not what you were questioning. So I'm going to stay focused. But yeah, that was my first thought. I also think you're an amazing partner, and how lucky your partner is that you were in a financial position to be able to help him and do that. I'm glad he was grateful. You sound so supportive of your partner, now fiance. Congratulations on your engagement as well. It is a huge deal to help somebody financially like that. So, I mean, kudos to you. I think it's very clear that you care so deeply about him as well, even in just reading the way that you've written your question. Now, I know this is a financial question, so it goes without saying. I'm giving you my two cents, but I don't know anything further about your financial situation. I'm not a financial advisor. This is not financial advice, okay? Take it with a grain of salt, and I'm going to flesh it out. But again, we're just talking as friends, okay? Now, I love that you guys at the start discussed that he would pay you back. I feel like when you lend money, it can be such a gray area. It can be so messy. It can get so complicated. And I think it's really hard sometimes to have that clarity and that agreement up front. And I've even seen in questions that have been submitted or with people close to me when they've lent money, it's like never been defined clearly. It's never been outlined like before the money changes hands. So I think it can be hard in most circumstances when you are lending money to differentiate if it is a gift or a loan. And I like that you guys had been very clear about it, that it was a loan and that he was going to pay you back. Green flag that he's also still very willing and has full intentions of paying you back. And I can see how the wedding definitely would have thrown everything up in the air for you, because up until that point, it's like, well, you're dating and you're together. Of course, he's going to pay you back. But then like once you become married, like everything is kind of yours anyway, and I'll get to that in a second. But before you make any decisions, what I want you to do is ask yourself a few questions, and I want you to think about a few things, because I really don't want to tell you what to do. I never want to tell anyone what to do. I kind of just want to hold space for you to figure it out and try to think about things from a few different angles. And maybe, yes, you might think, oh, what would Adele do? And I might get to that at the end of this question. I'm not sure. But I want you to just remember there's no real right and wrong in this question. I really don't think there is. I think it's what feels better for you and what you can make peace with and what you can make a decision on and then put your head on your pillow at night and have a good night's sleep, right? Now, the first thing I want you to ask yourself is, if the debt is not being repaid, is that then going to impact your own financial situation? And is it going to impact your financial situation and future plans as a couple? Again, I don't have any context about how you split your finances, how you guys work your finances. I don't really need to know how much you get paid and all that jazz. But I think you need to really consider if it is going to impact you financially heavily down the track. I then want you to ask yourself, will the debt not being repaid cause any strain on your relationship? Will it cause any resentment? Will it cause issues long term? Again, when I read your question, I feel like you're leaning towards kind of wiping it and just gifting it to him, and that is okay as well. But again, asking yourself if you know or if you can feel any slight resentment right now, that could indicate you could feel that in a bigger way down the track too. I also want you to ask yourself, will the debt not being repaid lead to potential misunderstandings or disagreements down the line? And really ask yourself that honestly and openly. And if there is a yes to any of those questions I just asked you, then I feel like there needs to be an open and honest discussion and maybe some more communication around the repayment with your partner. Again, I don't know what that looks like for you guys. And very generally speaking, is there a way that you can compromise and make it work? Does it look like maybe him repaying your debt over a longer period of time in smaller amounts, or an amount that like fits within the budget while him still being able to like pay for the engagement, pay for the wedding? Does it maybe look like him buying you your next car? Like, I don't know. I'm just like spitballing ideas out here. And it could even be him, I don't know, putting in more for the engagement or putting in more for the wedding. Again, I'm not too sure like of percentages and who puts in what and the way your dynamic works. I don't need to know that information, but I'm just trying to flesh out some other ideas if you don't necessarily want to just gift it to him. Because I think at this point, he still very much wants to pay it back to you. And again, you can always like change your mind and have multiple discussions about this as well. But I really want you to get clear before you have the next conversation with him about it. The other thing I want to point out is, and I mentioned this a little bit a moment ago, but obviously getting married now does add that layer of, I don't want to call it complexity, but it like changes the dynamic because you're getting married. And right now, technically, you could be de facto. I don't know your living arrangements. I don't know if you do live together or how long you have lived together. But once you are married and your relationship is like legally binding, essentially, it does become both of your money. And the debt then becomes both of your debt. So I understand where you are coming from in having that kind of force you to like reassess what you're going to do with these repayments now. And so that's another thing that I don't think we get into unless I have like a family lawyer on the bloody podcast. And again, I don't know the severity of the debt and I don't know how big it is. And I don't know if it's worth you chatting to somebody else professionally about that. But they don't regard gifts as something that they look at when it comes to then like splitting or when it comes to like divorce and things like that. And even loans, if there is not something that is like legally binding, so if there's not a contract or something written up, it's very hard to then one day fight that like down the track he may, like you may want him to pay that back if anything was to go sour. Anyway, again, I don't want to get sidetracked, but that is something that you should very well consider and weigh up when you are making this decision. Even now, as I'm going through all my points, when I brainstorm for this episode, I'm like, what would I do? Like, literally, what would I do? And I think if I was you, and again, not advice, so don't do this because I'm saying I would do this, but if I was in a very solid place financially, if I had my affairs in order and my partner had got his shit together and he had his affairs in order and we were about to get married, I think I would probably wipe the slate more so that we can just have like a fresh start and like a fresh chapter. I know people listening are going to be like, no, she needs her money back. And I know people are going to definitely disagree with me on this one. But I am very much about the energy. Like I think about the energy and just like knowing like every day I'd be waking up and like my husband-to-be is like owing me X amount of money. I think that energetically would make me feel a little bit like, ugh, and a little bit not, yeah, just not great. And so I think if I was at peace with where I was financially and if I was at peace with the decision to wipe it, then I would, yeah, I think I would probably do it just solely for that emotional impact, you know, that physical and emotional impact of like holding on to that debt versus letting it go. I don't think I've actually, maybe I've even confused you. I don't know if I've actually helped this listener, but I definitely think you have a decision to make. And either one, like I said to you, is okay. You're well within your right to make either decision. You can absolutely forgive the debt and consider it a gift, or if you still want it repaid, that's okay as well. It depends on your values, it depends on your priorities, and it depends on what you want to do. And if you think forgiving the debt is the right choice, then it is the right choice. And if you think not forgiving the debt is the right choice, then that's also the right choice right now. I think you guys can definitely find a way to make it work and move forward together. It sounds like you've been on quite a journey together, and I think it's beautiful to see how your relationship has evolved over time and as a partnership. So I have no doubt that you will get through this. I also am going to throw it back to the listeners as well, because I'm going to pop some polls up on the story. I've loved doing these. I really want to know what you would do if you're in this situation. So I'll put up a poll. Come and give us a vote. Good luck to this listener. Thank you so much for trusting me to write this in. And I hope that I gave you some clarity. I don't know if I did, but good luck. And again, guys, if you have your own confession, please submit it. I am looking forward to reading them. All right, let's get into the question. A little bit of a change of pace now, guys. I've gone serious on the confession today and not lighthearted on the question. The question is still serious, but it is a little bit of a change of pace. All right. Now, obviously, before we get into our questions, I'm not a qualified professional. Again, we get deep, but take my advice with a grain of salt. And if you do need professional help, of course, please see the show notes. Hi, Adele. My boyfriend and I have been together for about 9 months now and things are going well. I love to hear that for you. I always love when someone's relationship is moving along nicely. That makes me so happy. We spend quite a lot of time together and have even gone on a couple of trips together over the last 9 months. Here's the thing though. I've planned a trip to Europe for 3.5 weeks in this coming June with my two friends and have now just found out that my boyfriend will also be away for 2 weeks right before I leave. This is the only time that he could get off work, and he flies back to Australia on the exact same day that I fly out to Europe. I'm getting so stressed at the fact that 3.5 weeks has now turned into 5.5 weeks of us not seeing each other. We have never done long distance before. In fact, we've only gone a week after not seeing each other. Do you have any tips on how to navigate this and how to still be able to enjoy my Europe trip without missing him 24/7? And girl, how exciting. I'm so happy for you. You are going to have the time of your life. Let me just say, I read this question and I was like, damn, I know what that feels like. I remember in my first relationship, was it my first relationship? Yeah. My ex at the time, who was my boyfriend, he went away to Europe for 6 weeks with his friends. And that was like my first like serious boyfriend after high school. And I was like, shit, we had only been together, I think, for maybe like 6 months at that point. And it was scary. And I think it was different because like I was the one in Melbourne, Australia, and he was the one in Europe. But I think you are going to have the best time. You're going to make the best memories with your friends. And I'm kind of low-key jealous because you're going to be in Europe and I'm not. That makes me a little bit sad. No Europe for me this year. I'm going to try and travel to some new places. But I can really feel your stress and I can totally understand it. And I can even feel your like worry and anticipation about how it's gone from like 3.5 and how 3.5 weeks was okay, but now 5.5 weeks is basically like 6 weeks, and that's like definitely more than a month. And I know it can be really scary and really overwhelming, but having traveled to Europe or traveled to many places myself and left boys I've dated behind or been separated from boys I've dated or ex-boyfriends in the past, I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks. And I really want you to take what I'm saying on board here because I want you to still enjoy it. I think you're going on a trip of a lifetime. Anyone who lives in Australia knows it's a full-ass trek to get yourself over to Europe. It's expensive. You're going to be there with your friends. You still want to enjoy it, but you still want to manage those feelings of missing someone and being apart from them at the same time. My number one tip is before you leave, I definitely recommend a long, honest, open chat with your partner to establish very clear communication expectations while you are away. I think if you don't talk about it, you can run into a little bit of trouble. And I kind of felt this when I was in the Cook Islands, and I didn't actually realize just how far the Cook Islands time zone difference was. Like I would wake up in the morning and then Melbourne, Australia wouldn't be awake until like 6 or 7 hours later. And then when I'm going to bed, the guy I'm dating is like just having dinner. So our window of communication was a lot smaller than what it usually was. And we didn't actually have clear communication outlined before I left. And bless him, the guy that I'm dating, but he was like, you're working. I don't want to annoy you. I'm just going to give you space and like respect your time. And I said to him, like, if I'm busy, I'm just not going to like reply to you, but I'm missing you. So don't feel bad for talking to me. And he goes, but you're on a work trip. And so we had a conversation about that like 2 days into the trip. And then it was fine. But what I really want to say to you is have this conversation before you go on this trip, because you need to take into account time zones. You need to get on the same page about how often you're needing a call or how often you're needing text messages or how often you're wanting a FaceTime. And I would even go as far to recommend booking in, literally booking in a FaceTime maybe every like 4 or 5 days. And I will say the time zone difference in Europe versus Australia is insane and it's a little bit more difficult. So it might even be that, you know, he agrees to doing like the good morning messages and you agree to doing the good night messages, or you're having a FaceTime every Thursday. I don't know what exactly it looks like. I also don't know how much communication you need from your partner, but don't be scared to ask for what you want. And by doing this, what it does is you know that you will have a regular line of communication and that will give you peace of mind. At the same time though, you need to be careful not to then be on your phone 24/7 and just be texting your mans 24/7. You need to have some balance because you still want to be enjoying the time with your friends. You still want to be enjoying the beautiful places that you're seeing. And you don't want to necessarily just have like your face down in your phone the whole entire time. Okay. So that's why I think having something set that factors in all of the great things that you're going to be doing, all of the exciting stuff that you're going to be doing, and then also factors in his schedule. And I will say that, so while he's gone in that 2.5 week period, still have the same communication technique outlined, even though I don't know where he's going and if there's a time zone difference or whatever it is. But again, talk about it, agree on it, and then carry that forward while you go to Europe. And then while you're in Europe, if you're finding that things aren't working or the communication is like a bit too much or not enough and you need a little bit more, ask for it. If you have to change how it is, talk about it. And if you need to ask for something else, talk about it too. All right, my second tip is to stay in the present moment. And this is up there as like equal parts as important as talking about your communication expectations, but you are already worrying right now and it is March and you are not leaving until June. You've got April and May and June to get through, okay? So I want you just to take a deep breath. Everyone take a deep breath. You know, take that deep breath and just think you're here right now. You haven't left yet. You can enjoy every single date up until you go. Again, schedule that conversation before he leaves, but try to just enjoy where you are right now. And that also goes for when you are over there, enjoy where you are right there and right now. I think it's about trying to just stay in the current day. And I know that can be really hard, but right now you're having panic about something that is going to happen. It hasn't even happened yet. So not only are you stressing yourself out about something that hasn't happened, you're putting yourself under more stress and more worry because you're worried about it coming. Like, cross the bridge when you get there. And then when you get there, try not to dwell on the time that you're apart and switch your energy to focusing on the beautiful environment that you're in, the beautiful surroundings that you're in, and the friends that you're with, and making memories with them, and having this trip of a lifetime that, you know, you've probably worked really hard to go on. You've probably saved a lot of money to go on this trip. You've probably worked a long time to get to this Europe holiday. So really focus on where you're at and keep and sit in that energy rather than thinking, oh, like I'm not with him, like I can't enjoy this. It's like, well, no, you're allowed to enjoy it and that's okay. And that goes into my third tip, which is to flip the narrative of what you are telling yourself, because right now you're telling yourself that it's hard. You're telling yourself that it's scary and you're already worrying. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to make you feel scared. That's going to make you feel worried. That's going to make you feel like, oh my goodness, June is coming. I can't like possibly go on. Okay. You've still got time before you leave. Again, while you're over there, I would like you to practice saying some different things to yourself. And I've written out some new thoughts for you. Okay. Take what feels right. Maybe you want to come up with your own. I recommend that too. That probably will hit better. But instead of having those almost negative thoughts, spirals and those worrying thought spirals, ask yourself or say this to yourself: how cool is it that you get to be traveling the world with your besties? How cool is it that this time apart is going to make you value your relationship so much more? How cool is it that this time apart is going to make you value your time together so much more? How cool is it that this trip might even bring you guys closer together? You might even realize how much you miss each other and just how much you love being in each other's company. And how amazing is it to have somebody who you can miss and then come home to? I think they are beautiful thoughts to sit in and beautiful energy to sit in versus, oh my God, I'm worrying. Like, we've never done this before. It was 3.5 weeks. Now it's 5.5 weeks. And, you know, we see each other so much now. I'm just not sure. No, girl, you are going to be fine. Your relationship can handle the 5.5 weeks. Let me just tell you that, okay? I know 5.5 weeks also feels like an awfully long time. 5.5 weeks is going to fly, trust me. If you think about this year, how quickly has this year gone? We're already into March. We're already 11, 12 weeks into the year and it's flown. This will fly for you. I promise you it's going to be okay. And I promise you guys are going to get through this. And my last tip is to have a cute reunion planned. Okay. So ask your boyfriend to pick you up from the airport. Say, I would love it if you can come get me when I land. Or Maybe you guys are planning a little getaway not long after you get home so you have something to look forward to. Or maybe it's a nice dinner, or maybe it's a catch up like the day after you've landed. You're probably going to be jet lagged. I'm not entirely sure when you get back or what your schedules are like, but having something special to look forward to is going to help you and make that distance a little bit more manageable as well. And as I said, I know it doesn't feel like it, but time will fly and you're going to be okay. And I know you're going to actually have the best possible time over there too. You'll even surprise yourself when you get there. You'll think, oh my gosh, how am I in this amazing part of the world that you've never seen before, making these memories? And both things can be true. You can have a really fun time exploring and making these new memories with your friend, and also love your boyfriend so much and miss him so dearly and still look forward to when he gets home, and have all of that mean that your relationship is strengthening in your absence of each other. Okay, good luck. And if you guys listening have any tips and tricks, come and join the Facebook group. There'll be an episode thread there and you'll be able to have your say as well. All right, guys, I think I can wrap the show here. Thank you so much for listening today. If you loved it, please share this on your Instagram story. If you loved it, please share it with someone that you love. Get them onto the podcast. We're always looking to grow this community and I appreciate it so much. As always, give us a rating on Spotify or on Apple. I see those of you who have. Thank you so much. Big kisses to you. And if you haven't, come and join the Facebook group, follow us on Instagram, follow our TikTok, and I will see you next time. Be safe, guys. I'll chat to you soon. Bye. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.